Jeroen Oulu Slegers is an award-winning Flemish writer who lives in Antwerp. His third novel, Will, was published in Dutch in 2016 and has now been published in English for the first time. It's the story of Wilfried Wills, a policeman in Nazi-occupied Antwerp, whose desire to keep his head down and quietly see out the war runs up against the reality of wartime horrors and accusations of collaboration. And Jeroen Oulu Slegers joins me now to talk about the book. Before we get into the specifics of Wilfried and his story, I want to go back to your own grandfather, who I think was kind of inspirational in terms of where you went with this story. He was alive, he was in Antwerp, in Nazi-occupied Antwerp. How did he go through that period?
Well, he, this generation of people, most of them don't talk, right? They don't talk about their past. But my granddad couldn't shut up. He talked so much about the World War that it became difficult for me to even think about an idea that could work in a novel. We spent a lot of time together. He died in the 90s. And he talked a lot. There were no taboos.
What kind of stories was he telling you?
I think for him, well, the World War was his most important period in his life. It was for him adventurous time. So I'm not being cynical when I'm saying this. It's just how we thought about it. And some of the stories were pretty horrific, and perhaps they shouldn't have been told to a 15-year-old, for example. There was a kind of weird nostalgia, and at the end of his life, this is the interesting thing, because basically, he was a National Socialist. But at the end of his life, he saw this famous television series, Band of Brothers. You heard about it?
Yeah.
That Steven Spielberg produced it. It was about the liberation of Europe. It started at D-Day, and then it ended with the liberation of Europe. And my grandfather saw this, and this totally blew his mind.
So did it change his mind? Another thing I'm asking is, what was his attitude? You're saying he was a National Socialist, so he was quite happy that the Nazis were there at the time, yes?
Yes.
So his attitude was pretty straight about that. How drastically did it change?
Very, very radical. The change was radical. Basically, he said, I chose the wrong side. And for somebody who's in his 90s, that must have been horrible for him.
Yeah.
And he told me, I chose the wrong side, and basically my life is shit.
Wow.
That's what he said.
It was that direct. Yeah. Now you said he told you horrific stories as a 15-year-old, perhaps types of stories that you shouldn't have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the kind of stories that you then rework in the book Will? Mm-hmm. Because there are some pretty horrific stories there, the treatment of Jewish people in particular in different situations, mm-hmm. very hard to deal with.
Actually, no. My grandfather didn't influence me when I described the razzias. These are based on an actual police report. So there was a police officer who actually participated during the roundups in August 42 in Antwerp. And he wrote a police report about it, which is insane because he implicated himself, of course. And on the basis of that, this is actually the real departure for me. It was the direct inspiration to write Will. When I read that report, it was an eye opener.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Will and Wilfried within the book and his role. I suppose there's a particular incident. We meet the older Wilfried looking back on his life, but he goes right back to the 1940s and Antwerp. And there's a particular the families of Jewish people are being rounded up under the title work dodgers. Nothing got to do with dodging work at all, but they're being rounded up. And Wilfried and his police colleague, Ludo, the two colleagues witness a child being beaten, being kicked around the place. This is taken, is that the sort of stuff you were taking directly from the police report?
No, that particular thing, no. There was this strange, this is in the opening of the novel, right?
Mm.
In 1940, in the winter of 1940, 1941, some Jewish people were rounded up by the Germans because the anti-Semitism in Antwerp was on that level. That because the Germans were in Antwerp since May 1940. And the Antwerp people were asking the Germans, so what are you going to do against the Jews? What do you propose, even? So they did that. This is the in the beginning of the novel, and it is the it's a scene that was very, very important for me because I've written it during one sitting. Came out of me, and suddenly I became emotional about that scene, about this kid trying to escape and then gets kicked by these Germans. It was the first time that I had the right tone. And all this research that I did suddenly became alive.
Writing about that period, you're saying that you became emotional doing it, that particular scene. Is that very unusual for you to, you know, sit down and to pour the stuff out and then to find yourself effectively, you know, crying at what you've written?
Yeah, that was the first time. And it was also funny because I had this feeling, okay, this is really arrogant, you know. this is narcissism at its most impossible. You're actually crying because of what you've written yourself. And I have this this thing with my wife. I always read what I write, what I've written that day. So she asked me at the end of the day, what did you write? And I started to read, and I couldn't go on. And she said, what's up? And I said, well, this is the same thing that happened to me when I was writing this. It's embarrassing. And she said, no, go on. So I read the entire part, and then she started crying, and she said, this is going to be a fantastic book. The emotional investment, I felt that too. The emotional investment was so present, and I took it up from there.
Yeah, and it is obviously to get somebody else to react in that way is much more important, as you say, than reacting that way yourself. I don't want to get bogged, you know, because there are lots of twists and turns in the book, and Wilfried and his colleague Loda were talking about, you know, potential collaboration. What do you do? Do you back the Nazis? Do you protect the Jews, the Jewish families who have been rounded up? And a large part of the plot revolves around the tension of that side of things. But one aspect of anti-Semitism in Antwerp that I wanted you to discuss a little bit further for me was, how linked in was it to the fact that a lot of a large portion of the Jewish community were involved in the diamond business in Antwerp? How did that link into the attitudes of some people within Antwerp towards the Jewish community?
Of course, the diamond business was a factor. That absolutely. But I think the anti-Semitism, because the diamond business was already there from the end of the 19th century. And even before that, even in the 16th century, we had a small Jewish community that were in the diamond business or in the gold business. But the really fierce anti-Semitism started in 1938, because after the Austrian Anschluss, Jewish people became refugees. Austrian Jews became refugees, came to Antwerp because it's a port, of course, and they wanted to go to the UK or the US or even Cuba. And also German Jews, German refugees were in Antwerp. And we had a socialist mayor then who was sympathetic to their plight and try to accommodate as good as possible. But there were lots of Antwerp people who felt that there was an invasion, that there was a Jewish invasion in their city. And I think that's the main factor, actually, the main factor of this anti-Semitism.
You say that, you know, when you wrote that scene about the child being kicked, well, it is very early on in the book, that you found the tone of the book and that there was a huge emotional output. You also mentioned the fact that your grandfather telling you stories in your teenage years, for a long time you couldn't find the right way to approach a story like this about this period in time. Is there something in the contemporary moment, in 2019, in the Europe that we live in now, in the world that we live in now, do you think there was something there that spurred you on to write this story?
Absolutely. I think a good historical novel is a contemporary novel. I try to put echoes in the story, but basically I think to discover all this is that's the work of the reader, right? I don't think that the reader needs somebody like me to point that out. It's his or her discovery. But of course, for me as a writer, everything is linked. I'm now working on a novel that is situated in the 16th century in Antwerp. It's also linked to this age. For me, there are differences. There are in the details, of course, in the specific historical context. But on a human level, on a very basic human level, on how people react toward each other, how they react in a system, it's this basically the same thing.
But we have read and seen a lot recently, a lot of commentary, certainly in this country, and I presume with you as well, the idea that, in fact, what's happening now with the rise of the far right, how fascism came into fashion, if I can use that phrase, in the 30s and 40s, that there are direct parallels right now to what happened in the 30s that led to the Second World War. Do you see those?
Yeah, well, when I was in high school, there was this idea, how was all this horror possible? The 30s, how was it possible? Now we live in an age where both the First World War, the beginning of the First World War, and the beginning of the Second World War, and the 30s, and the rise of fascism, isn't a mystery anymore. We see it happen before our eyes, and it gives a powerless feeling also. I see international fascism, extreme right coming up. I see it in my own country. We have the Vlaams Belang, which is an extreme right party in Flanders. And fascism has become international again. And it's terrifying. But at the same time, we still have this apocalyptic vision on the Second World War. And we know how this kind of hatred ends. So I still believe that both these things, both the rise of fascism and both the remembrance of the Second World War, can not harmonize themselves, but keep each other like pitted against each other. Yeah. I hope that. Yeah. I hope this.
Keep each other in check, perhaps, is what you're talking about. The book is written, Will is written in the form of Wilfried writing a letter to his great-grandson. You know, you've mentioned your own grandfather, and the book is dedicated to your own son. You're a man in your 50s, your son is in his 20s. To what extent do you feel that this is aimed, or in some ways you're telling a story to your son's generation, lest they forget, you know, lest they aren't aware of what happened in World War II? Did you feel there was an importance to pass that on from generation to the next generation?
Oh, yes. It was the first time that I felt a responsibility whilst writing a book. And I'm happy that the book has become a commercial success here, because this means that it becomes available to the younger generation. Unless I hope so. I talk to students, I talk to pupils, I go to schools, I go to university, I talk about the book. I try to keep the memory alive. Absolutely. That's the first time in my literary career that I felt this kind of responsibility.
Jeroen Olieslagers has been talking to me about his latest novel, Will. It's published by Pushkin Press.